The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
This is ESPN 1000. WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Now, back to more Waddle and Sylvie, live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio
on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
All right, come on out in your Bears gear tomorrow. Whatever team you support, we'll accept that too. Tomorrow, we're going to be at Benny's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite. We're going to have the Bears-Niners tickets to give away, a pair of those in the Miller Lite loft. Outstanding. Waddle's going to be at the game, too.
I will
too.
Be there, yes. Say hello. Holler at me.
Yeah, you'll get to meet the winner tomorrow because you got to be present to win. So come on out to Benny's Beverage Depot. If you want to stay for 5 minutes, say you want to stock up for your first NFL weekend with the right amount of alcohol, beer, whatever's you like, wine, liquor.
Maybe hang around for a slice of Connie's pizza.
Right, grab some pizza, grab a seat, and enjoy the broadcast. You could do it for 5 minutes. You could do it for all 4 hours. Come up by. We're in the tasting room. It's a really comfortable area. And Waddle mentioned the Connie's Frozen Pizza truck will be there as well. Mm-hmm. Waddle is expecting some meat, so we'll see if anyone brings him some meat.
I hope so. Hope it's provided by the location.
Yeah, we'll see everyone tomorrow at Benny's Beverage Depot, brought to you by Miller Lite. Dan Durkin joins us each and every Thursday. He breaks down the game as well as anybody. This is a great double dip today for me as well, because we had Kurt Warner breaking down Justin Fields. He's my favorite former quarterback, the way he breaks down the tape. And the way Durkin does it, it's outstanding as well. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're great. Before we get into some of the things that you watched in regards to Matt Eberflus and how he defended the 49ers last year, I want to ask you the question that we've been wondering about at right guard. Lucas Patrick is not on the injury report. But he, according to Courtney Cronin, as of yesterday, was seen taking first-team snaps at right guard rather than center, and Sam Mustipher remained at center, even though he was the backup center. So what do you believe Matt Eberflus is thinking in regards to his line?
That Lucas Patrick will be the starting center on Sunday, and Tevin Jenkins will be the starting right guard. I think that this is gamesmanship, and if you're truly looking to get your best five out there, sorry for Sam Mustipher fans, he's not one of them. So that's how I view that one. I mean, I think the best five from left to right, you know, for better or for worse at this point in time, is Braxton Jones, Cody Whitehair, Lucas Patrick, Tevin Jenkins, and Larry Borum, and you run with that group. So I think that, you know, more than anything, this is, again, this line will be unsettled, I think, for a few weeks, but it's all about finding the best five. And you'd have to make a really interesting argument for me to consider Sam Mustipher one of those top five guys.
I was going to say, Dan, you've been a big supporter in the way they've been doing business up there in the short term here. Would you really question if they didn't start Tevin Jenkins?
It would be surprising to me considering what he showed in the preseason. And just, you know, I think he's brought a different, you know, kind of like an attitude to that group that I think that they were lacking. I think that he battled all preseason, and I think he's hungry. I think he's ready to prove himself. I do think Lucas Patrick is, you know, a very good guard as well. You know, so don't get me wrong when I say this. I just, you know, I know that Sam Mustipher, high IQ, good at identifying fronts. I know that he spent some time this offseason getting his body right. I just, you know, I when I think about him and his performance to this point, this is a guy who has struggled with, you know, directly up over his nose. Just doesn't get as much push as you want. So now I think about somebody like Lucas Patrick getting into that spot. You put, you know, Jenkins at right guard, and all of a sudden your line looks different. The only argument that could make sense is, hey, he's more familiar with the line calls. He's been, you know, kind of like that voice in the huddle. I get all of that stuff, but I just don't think he's one of the best five when I assess this group.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, but doesn't it seem odd, Dan, that they would actually – you're taking reps to get ready for the 49ers. It's a pretty good front seven. Why would you be giving Patrick snaps at guard if you were intending to play him on at center on Sunday?
I think it's preparing for any possible scenario. You know, you have to be ready for, you know, they're probably going to suit, what, 8 offensive linemen? So you're going to need some of those guys to be interchangeable. So where can he play other than center? Because what if something happens to Cody? What if something happens to Jenkins? I think that you're just, again, looking at the different ways that these guys could potentially slot in, because versatility is so important when you're talking about maximizing the guys that you're going to actually activate on Sunday. So from my perspective, I do get the point, but he has to get more reps in there. This guy's been out for a few weeks with a hand injury. So I think more than anything, this is just another chance for them to look at a different potential combination. What does it look like when he's at guard and Mustafa's out there? And then now it's just giving Chris Morgan and those guys more reps to assess the different combinations that they might consider.
And this is also, Dan, too, like only during the media observation,
correct,
which is the beginning, and they only let you see what they want you to see, so you don't know how they lined up the entire practice when they were getting their real work in.
And you and I have been there. That's why I threw out the gamesmanship comment. You see so many of those things like that, and you're like, I know what that means. And so I think this is my skeptical flag being raised in the background.
I would just counter that with, this is where professional football coaches drive me crazy, thinking they're protecting national secrets. I don't believe the San Francisco 49ers front seven gives a rat's ass whether Patrick is playing guard or center.
I completely agree with you. And I, to be honest with you, the biggest concerns for that offensive line when you assess who they're playing this weekend is on the perimeter. So, yeah, I think that this to me is, what are you doing about Nick Bosa? Because that should be objective number one from an offensive coordinator's plan for this weekend.
So tell us how you would go about game planning against this 49er defense if, in fact, you were playing the role of Luke Getsy.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how and where he uses his running backs, you know, this weekend. You know, when I went back and I started thinking about the situation that Getsy had when he was in Green Bay, and you think about this like pony personnel, so two running backs in the game at the same time. So now, might they consider some backfield sets with both David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert in the game? Because when I went back and looked at the game last year, Montgomery wasn't active for the game against the 49ers. Khalil Herbert had a lot of success on those outside zone runs against the 49ers last year, and that set up, you know, what I thought was a very strong game for Justin Fields off that play action. So now, the reason that I even bring that up is you can keep your running backs in the backfield to scan to say, where is the offensive line leaking and where do I need to insert myself in here to give him the right protection if it is in fact a pass play. So I'm eager to see if he's always offset to the side that Nick Bosa is on. How often are they keeping in a tight end to that side of the field? And now the downside of that, though, is you're giving a numbers advantage to the defense because you're sacrificing an eligible receiver to get more stout and pass protection. But again, I think that it is so crucial that you have your protection plan right against this team just because Nick Bosa is going to be a headache for them. But again, if they trust Jones to be stable on his own, and you can see that over time, now all of a sudden you can get 5 out there. So the 49ers are going to play a ton of zone defense. I think they were 5th in the league last year. I think 73% of their snaps were out of zone coverage. And so now why are they doing that? They want to get eyes on the football, and they want to make Justin Fields play quarterback. And what I mean by that is make him be right with his pre-snap read and make him be right post-snap, because if you can contain him by having 7 sets of eyes in the backfield, in the defensive backfield, and then in the offensive backfield as far as where they're looking, now all of a sudden you're shrinking his ability to have escape routes because you have linebackers that are looking at him, but you also have more people in coverage. So I'm really interested to see what type of route combinations Getsy dials up this week, because I anticipate a ton of zone coverage. So what type of like high-low combinations, who are you going after, and what I consider to be a relatively bolstered San Francisco secondary. I think it was clearly the weak link of that defense last year, which was still excellent, but they made a concerted effort this offseason to make it better. So I think very tough matchup for the Bears offense in week one, but getting your protection plan right to me is first and foremost the most important thing heading into this weekend.
Dan Durkin joining us. He joins us each and every Thursday to break down the Bears. It's Waddle and Selvey on ESPN 1000. I mentioned Kurt Warner as I brought you in, too, because he's fantastic with his quarterback confidential. He told us, he reiterated what he said in the breakdown of Justin Fields. He said, when Justin Fields processes the information the right way, when he's decisive, you can clearly see a great quarterback there. But it's the ability to process all the time that he wants to see him do. Would you agree with his take on how Fields is working in year two?
100%. And that goes back to opposing defenses forcing him to play quarterback, because let's put a finer point on what I mean by that. Justin Fields is going to be very dangerous to defensive coordinators out of structure. And so when a play breaks down, when you're in the fourth, in the fifth second of a down, now all of a sudden it's danger time for the defense, because once he breaks the pocket, it's you're putting the linebackers and the safeties in conflict. Do I come up to try and tackle him and vacate where, you know, like who I'm supposed to be covering behind me? And so he creates dilemmas out of structure. But that can't sustain a team for a game. And so how can the Bears keep this game close enough to where he can still be able to use play action? Because the biggest concern that I have for the Bears is when he is forced to play quarterback, because now all of a sudden you're asking him to play from the pocket, which I still think is a developing area for him. So to put an even finer point on what Kurt's saying, is he processing the coverage appropriately pre-snap? Sometimes, not all the time. So he clearly needs to get better there. But a defense isn't going to always show you pre-snap what they intend to do post-snap. So where you saw a safety located, where is he at post-snap? Has there been a rotation? You know, how are did the rolled-up corners actually drop off now? Did they drop into a zone? So there's a lot of gamesmanship that's being played by a defensive coordinator. So now there's a lot of information that needs to be processed in a couple split seconds. And then you can't even let your eyes start dropping to the rush, because then it gets even more complicated. So how he is able to get the right sight picture from the beginning and then know, I think I see this look, so I'm going here first as number one, I'm going here for number two, and then I'm looking to check it down, or I'm looking to throw the ball away to live another down. And so that's where he really needs to mature. So if the 49ers force him to play quarterback and they're able to take away the Bears' run game, that's when this game could get out of control. But I really think that the Bears are going to need to maintain a heavy commitment to the run game to allow Justin to do what he does best, and that is move the pocket, hit people on the perimeter, and give him the ability to run or throw when he hits the boundary if he doesn't like what he sees, because that right now is the most dangerous part of his game.
Dan, it's a really talented 49er team, but there are questions. Obviously, Trey Lance hasn't played a lot of football. George Kittle has an injury. The offensive line, other than Trent Williams, is not, you know, probably where it will be 6-8 weeks from now. Defensively, the secondary has improved, like you said, but Jimmy Ward is a really good player. He's on injured reserve. When you look at this Bears team and how they match up, which unit do you believe is going to have the biggest struggle? Is it going to be our offense versus the 49er defense, or is it our defense against this 49er offense?
No, I think it's going to be the offense against the 49ers defense. I think the Bears defense will actually match up pretty well, particularly you talked about the George Kittle injury. If he's out, it's going to be, you know, like a huge advantage, you know, in terms of one fewer player that you need to be concerned with. But when I think about this, I think the struggle is going to be when the Bears have the ball and how they can play keep away. Because to your point, I have no idea what to expect from Trey Lance. I actually think that Justin Fields is much further along at this point in his career relative to Trey Lance. But there's that wild card factor. So you see very similar game plans, I think, from both offenses. Tons of misdirection, lots of play action. I think that the one thing when I went back and watched the Bears 49ers game last year was how much they used the running game. Elijah Mitchell was fantastic in that game, but schemed play action shots to Deebo Samuel and what the Bears are able to do on third down. And this is where I want to bring in like what I saw from Eberflus last year in his game plan against the 49ers. And why I think the Bears defense will do well against the 49ers offense. I really liked what I saw from Eberflus last year when he was going up against Jimmy Garoppolo. The 49ers were 1-for-11 against the Colts on third down last year, which was crucial. Eberflus used simulated pressures over and over and over again and very rarely actually brought the person that he was showing at the beginning of the snap, and it confused the 49ers and it forced some bad throws. They forced four turnovers that game, and they iced it with a pick six off of a simulated pressure at the end of the game. So I really like how Eberflus picked and chose when he actually brought pressure versus where he was simulating pressure. And so I like that game plan a ton. And then on the flip side, they were deep game hunting. They were big game hunting. As soon as they got the ball off a turnover, they were taking shots on the field. So I liked how that game plan was very cohesive between offense and defense. Opportunistic plays on the defense, and then the offense immediately going for the jugular afterwards. They didn't complete either deep play, but they got two pass interferences that set the Colts up inside the 10-yard line, and they scored touchdowns off of both of them. I think this is going to be a much closer game than I thought it was going to be before, simply because I do have trust in what Matt Eberflus does, and I really like what his defense looks like on third down.
You may have similar conditions as well, right? Because if you go back to that game last year with the Colts and the 49ers, it was a storm. Yeah, the weather was look, I know, Silly, you were saying that it was later.
Are you a meteorologist now? Are you predicting a big swamp here, Waddle?
Well, isn't it supposed to rain on Sunday?
Yes. I don't know. Like, I told you now. I don't know how much.
By the way, I did take a meteorology class at Boston College.
That is true.
How'd it go?
I got an A.
Nice job, dude.
I didn't do anything halfway, Dan. Come on.
Now, Dan, I don't know if you believe in the dark sky app at all. I pay $3 for this for some reason. It is telling me that more of the rain is coming in the back half of the day, closer to 3 o'clock. And we are supposed to have like a 19% chance of rain around noon for the Bears-Niners game.
With these two teams, conditions of a new sodded field and the weather, you know, could play a bigger role than if this was a team, you know, a game between two teams that had veteran quarterbacks and different commodities.
Agreed. And then you think about the whole, like, peanut punch in the hits philosophy. It was two peanut punches, you know, in the game last year that made the difference for them. So two peanut punches, Al-Kadim Muhammad got one of them, Darius Leonard got another one of them, and then the pick six off of the actual, that was a simulated pressure, but they did bring a late guy from the second level on the Rhodes pick six. So now when you talk about bad conditions, if you can keep the game close, the ball possession becomes so huge. Like, how can you protect the football becomes huge. And so now knowing that this is something that they've been drilling in, maximum effort on every snap, rallying 11 guys to the ball, you know, I think that that stuff will matter. So I think if it is, in fact, inclement conditions like it was last year in San Francisco, that will make this game, which I already anticipate being pretty close, even closer, and maybe the Bears who have a puncher's chance in the end. My only concern about, you know, going that far is I do think that the 49ers have a pretty decided advantage at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the line, and so that's the part that gives me pause.
Yeah, I mentioned to Waddle like a couple weeks ago, and you talked about the peanut punch. I have already made a prediction that Jaquan Brisker forces a fumble. He will separate.
Find a prop bet.
Yes, there you go. So I don't know what the odds would be on that, but that is my pick. One other defensive question for you guys. For both of you guys can answer this. We thought we were going to see Roquan in that last preseason game. He has played no football in this preseason. He's going into a new defense. He's very important. Will we see any rustiness from Roquan? Will he have to be spelled a little bit? It's warmer than it usually is, too. This time of year, what do you guys expect from Roquan Smith?
I expect him to be the best player on the Bears defense on Sunday because he is. And I think he is really trying to show out this year because he knows he's auditioning for, you know, not only a potential re-up with the Bears, but for 31 other teams. Conditioning might be a factor, but I trust him to have kept his body right. I think that Roquan is going to be excellent because when you go back and look at the game again last year, I spent a ton of time watching that 49ers-Colts game from last year. Darius Leonard was so crucial to that game and the game plan, and I guarantee you he's going to have moments where he's going to try and free Roquan up, be it, hey, you've got a green dog here. If the guy you're supposed to have in coverage doesn't go, and, you know, go into the backfield. So I'd imagine Roquan's going to have a couple opportunities to make plays in the backfield. I anticipate him being a full go.
I think it's always a question you have to ask because there was, you know, very limited contact that he put himself through. But I agree with Dan. I think he'll be fine. I mean, you may have to spell him a little bit more than normal, but my anticipation is that he will be, as Dan said, their best defensive player on the field.
All right. So you give them a puncher's chance, as you said. Give me a score. You got a score?
I'm thinking 24-29 or something in that, 23-29 or somewhere in that neck of the woods. I think that you know, the Bears, if they are able to play ball control and keep it close, I think that they'll be all right. Man, when you go back to the Bears and Niners game last year, do you guys remember the 3rd and 19 that turned into like an 83-yard pass to Deebo Samuel? The Bears had opportunities to win that game last year. So when you think about it, I think they're so much better in terms of coaching this year. I think that they might have a chance. And I honestly think Trey Lance, you know, maybe over time, obviously over time, his potential is to be better than Jimmy Garoppolo. But I just don't know. He's a real wild card for me. So I think they do have a puncher's chance this weekend. My fear is Nick Bosa. He's the guy that says that has been coming back to me, you know, each week when I've been kind of preparing for this game, is what is the game plan for him, and you know, how is he going to go up against Larry Borum, who's clearly a better run blocker than pass protector at this point in time, and a rookie in Braxton Jones. And if the Bears need to keep people in to protect, now all of a sudden you're only getting 3 eligibles out or 4 eligibles out, and the numbers advantage goes to the 49ers back there. So Nick Bosa, I think, is going to be a real the X factor in this game.
Hey, Dan, real quick before we let you go, one of our producers, Tyler Aki, thinks that this Bears team will be really competitive all season long for like 3 quarters. And that's where the talent gap between them and other teams may take over in the fourth quarter. Would you subscribe to a similar thought as the season's about to kick off?
I do. I think in some games, though, there's going to be teams that are going to jump all over this team early. I think this team's going to be real scrappy. I think that this team's going to be, you know,
frisky.
They know it's them against the world, and nobody believes in them. But I do think that there's going to be a lot of heartbreakers this year, where you know they're going to keep you sucked in for 3 quarters, and then all of a sudden it's just going to be, oh yeah, we have so and so, and you don't have somebody like that, and here's the guy that's going to make a play for us. So I do agree, but. You know, I'm very encouraged after what I saw from that game plan from Eberflus last year against the 49ers. I think that they have made an exponential step forward from a coaching staff perspective this year, and that stuff matters.
Great, Dan, stuff. Can't wait to talk after this game and get into the season. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Dan.
Sounds great, guys. Be well.
There you go. Dan Durkin, check him out. He is absolutely awesome. He is all ours, too, exclusively here on the Waddle and Sylvie Show, and his breakdown is fantastic. I want to bring to the table, would you rather? I have not asked for any would you rathers today. We missed this on Tuesday because of the weird week again with Labor Day. So we want to do a round of would you rather. If you'd like to enter, hashtag it WS would you rather on Twitter. Send it to Charlie Bevins and also to Jeff Meller on Twitter. Hashtag it WS for Waddle Sylvie. WS would you rather, your best either or question. I've got one for you. Would you rather have Miguel Cairo managing your baseball team or Tony La Russa? It could be a very valid question. We'll tell you about that coming up next. Guys, my friends at Window Nation, family owned business, they are here to save you money in the short term and in the long term. You need to replace your windows. You've known this for a while. It happened to me. 3 years I had been putting it off. I found Window Nation because of their outstanding customer service. My guy, Alan Favada, true Chicago guy. He is their sales manager. He told me exactly what I needed and what I didn't need. I didn't have to replace as many windows as I thought. Now, they custom make your windows. They are perfection and fit in perfectly with your home and will increase the value of your house. Also, right now, you get 2 windows with every 2 you buy for free. Buy 2 windows, get 2 free with no limit. Buy 4, get 4 free, and you'll make no payments till 2025. Check them out today. Have them out at the house to give you an estimate. You're going to love them. It's windownation.com or 866-90-NATION. It's windownation.com or call them at 866-90-NATION. Their reviews are outstanding. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. They will give you the customer service you deserve. Windownation.com or call them today at 866-90-NATION.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Tracy Butler has responded to my text about the weather on Sunday. Let's see, she's responding a little bit more because she didn't give me... So the Dark Sky app...
Says the rain's going to start later in the day.
She's poo-pooing that, and she is saying it will be showery. And with 3 exclamation points, showery, temperature around 70. And I responded, even at noon? And she said, yes, at noon.
Boy, so, you...
You want to get on Tracy Butler's bad side? I've done this before.
Tell her
question
about an
her,
app.
Question her.
You have her in studio, and then you pull up the weather app, and you just ask her if this is correct. She will. That might be the only thing that could get Tracy Butler to swear.
Well, it's probably the most disrespectful thing you could do.
It kind of is. Yeah.
Well, I did the other way around. I was looking at the app, and I'm like, "This is just an app. Let's talk to the actual person who does this for a living."
That's probably a better way to approach it.
Yeah.
Rather than have her in studio and say, "Hey, Tracy."
She's about to go to bed right now, isn't she?
This is about her bedtime.
Yeah. She's definitely in her pajamas. Yeah. It's an hour from bedtime for her.
We're not kidding either.
No.
What, does she wake up at 2?
Yes.
Didn't you wake up at 2 in the morning?
I think she told me when I asked her, she goes to bed at 6.
5:30, like that's when she starts winding down.
Right, and she's here
that's
at
when
what
I
time?
Start, that's 4? 5:30 is when I start
I
to get the first urge to have a drink when I get off the air.
You going to be drinking tonight for Thursday Night Football? I know.
Does the Bears do the Bears and do a bear poop in the woods?
They do. Yeah. They do, yeah.
God, I love football. I'm so happy it's back.
Tracy added that it won't be raining, though, the entire time. But it will be showery.
Listen, look, I think it's, for some of the reasons that Dan mentioned, I think it's probably, it'll work in the Bears' favor. Now, look, you would think in bad conditions, the team that runs the ball best would have the advantage. And the 49ers, I think, were still a top 10 run team last year.
Sure?
But
Debo, too. Debo runs the ball.
Look, I agree. I think Tyler made a really good point a couple weeks ago when he said, look, this team showed you in the preseason, they'll make their layups. They're not going to necessarily consistently beat themselves. But when it's not the preseason and your opponent is game planning for you and they're forcing you to play left-handed when you want to play right-handed, that's where I think the rubber will meet the road, so to speak. So I think there's a chance that throughout the course of this season, you'll see this team be very, very competitive. Whether or not they can get over the top more than they don't because of the talent gap, that's what's to be determined.
Going into the break, I told you about Would You Rather. Send us your Would You Rather entries to Meller and Charlie Bevins. I tweeted that out. You just respond to that. Hashtag it WS Would You Rather. The winner will get a Lou Malnati's gift card. We'll read those coming up. And then we've got Michael Wilbon in studio today. A couple of things, though, I wanted to get at. Tony La Russa, I mentioned Miguel Cairo or Tony La Russa. I think the obvious answer at this point is Miguel Cairo.
Well, it's a small sample size. What is it, 9 games, 6-3? But I'll go with it. I think this team needed a boost. I would say I would stick with Miguel Cairo.
I would have answered any of them. Like if you said Ethan Katz was managing, if you would have said Bruce Levine was managing, I would have picked any of those guys over Tony. Now, the report is today, John Heyman is reporting, and this backs up what Bob Nightingale told Cap the other day. Heyman is saying that the intention is that he's A-okay, which we all want. We want Tony to be okay, and that the test checked out all right. It's an undisclosed illness, whatever he had. He went back to Arizona. According to Heyman's article for the New York Post, it said Tony is expected to arrive in Oakland on Sunday for Dave Stewart's. They're honoring Dave Stewart in Oakland. Just so happens where the White Sox are. And then maybe flies back with the White Sox. And then he manages early next week and returns to the White Sox.
Maybe they give him wrong gate information and it delays his return a couple of days. I don't know.
Well, even if they gave him the right gate info, he probably would use the wrong gate info.
I'm interested to see how White Sox fans react when Tony comes back.
I can't imagine anything else except being upset.
Oh, there's still a faction of White Sox fans out there that I believe that are still Tony La Russa fans.
Boy, do you really?
Come on. You once sent out a web poll question, is money bad?
I think most people have taken, even the Tony supporters, even if you were Hall of Fame manager Tony La Russa in 2011, that you've been, your eyes told you that it just ain't working.
Well, let me play devil's advocate for a second and say to you, what does Tony have to do with them hitting dongs with the frequency with which they've hit them over the last 5 to 7 days?
I don't know. I don't know.
Are you suggesting that the players are swinging the bat harder now that Tony La Russa is no longer in the dugout?
That's what I mean. Like, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Like, I mean, Dylan Cease was good even when Tony was on the bench.
Right, right.
So
we know he's not a good manager, though.
Has not been.
We know they've played better without him lately. So why not? Like Nick says, Nick in Naperville, really quick. Nick, you're on ESPN 1000. What's on your mind?
Gentlemen, first off, Sylvie, want to thank you for the Naperville Dad Army cameo last week.
That's right.
That was fantastic.
That was for you.
I think you just got to ride the hot hand with Miguel Cairo. Tony had a good run at it last year. It was at 90-something wins. But I think you just got to stick with a high hand going forward. Thank you much for your time, gentlemen.
Yep.
Hey, thanks, Nick.
You just keep playing the hot hand. You know, if this was a player, you wouldn't go back to the player who was struggling most of the year. You would continue to play in the short term, ride it out, and just see where it takes you. I think Elvis Andrews is a good example of that. Elvis Andrews has played well for the White Sox, and he continues to play once T.A. comes back. Not at shortstop, but at second base, where you find a spot for him. You know, and the comp with Tony La Russa and Tim Anderson ain't close. Like, Tim Anderson's way more valuable. But
everything you say is common sense based.
Yep. But
what do you think is going to happen?
Well, right. The White Sox don't live by the common sense rule.
No.
They don't. And then you wanted a couple of tweets here. I wrote down a couple of tweets that our listeners wanted
to
ask.
I thought, you know, as I was looking, because I didn't spend much time on my phone yesterday, I was looking at Twitter before I went to bed. And I believe, you know, we've made reference a lot about how the Bears will have a full complement of draft picks next year and a lot of money to spend in free agency as they clean up a mess that was left behind by the previous regime.
Right.
And I believe one of the fine tweeters suggests...
I've got it here. You want me to read it?
Sure.
It's from Brennan.
Yeah.
And I like when people tweet us after the show, too, whether you listen on podcast or you just don't have a chance to tweet or call in during the show and you still want to ask us a question. I'll usually copy and paste the question, put it in the notes, and we try to circle back for it. And there's a couple of illustrations of that. Brennan says... And he's a Packer fan. He goes, y'all keep talking about how much money the Bears have next offseason. Name me a team that spent a lot during free agency that had success. The impactful players rarely ever make it to free agency. Good teams spend money on their own guys.
Or you trade for them. I mean, like the Rams have draft. I mean, they don't even draft guys. They don't even have draft picks. They trade them away. And then they sign guys via free agency. So, I mean, that would be one. Look, I'm not telling you it's an absolute guarantee that because you have $100+ million to spend in free agency that automatically you vault to the top of the list in the NFC, but it gives you options. It gives you the ability to not just use the draft. It gives you another avenue to fill some of the holes that you have. How can that be a bad thing? Nobody's telling you, or I'm not telling you, that because they have so much capital, free capital, that it's going to equate to a championship. But if this existing front office can prove to you that they've got an eye for talent, then maybe they've got an eye for talent in the free agent market, and you're able to sign guys at important positions that other teams can't because they don't have the same cash available that you have.
Yeah.
It's not, it can't ever be a bad thing.
Right.
To have a lot of money to spend.
In football free agency, you usually overspend. Most free agencies, you overspend. And I agree with him that on two points. I agree with him. The top players are always franchised. If you want them, you're probably going to have to trade for them. Yes. You mentioned Jalen Ramsey, or you alluded to the Rams.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey, you traded for him. You used that like free agency. You gave him a new contract.
Same
Matt
with
Stafford.
Vaughn Miller last year, right?
Vaughn Miller. Was it Matt Stafford a trade?
It was a trade as well.
So, like, you acquire good players, and then you pay them with the salary cap that you have. But I agree with him on one point, and it's something that I admire about the Packers. As much as we hate the Packers, the Bears do need, and I'm hopeful that Ryan Poles has the nose for this, they have to be a draft and develop
team.
And then you supplement that with free agency. You find an Allen Robinson.
When was the last time this team had a full complement of draft picks? They're going to have both.
Right.
And if they got 15 rookies on their roster right now, let's say a handful of them pan out. Let's say Braxton Jones pans out and Brisker pans out and Gordon pans out. Well, that's three. Maybe they do, maybe they whatever. If you can get half of your draft picks to be contributors to your team, you've had a good draft. So if we can do that again next year,
of course,
when you have even more picks and I can supplement with some cash, or maybe I can go out and sign a guy like Teron Armstead, for example, as an offensive tackle. Now I got something. It allows you to do some stuff that other teams that don't have the same financial flexibility to do. That's all.
I could tell you a lot of free agents the Bears have signed in the years that they were good that made sense. Again, John Tate wasn't the world's best tackle, But John Tate solidified a line
that ended up,
and they went to the Super Bowl. Julius Peppers was acquired, and then that year they go to the NFC Championship in 2010, the year that they get
him. Robert Quinn was a free agent.
Robert Quinn was a free agent. I mentioned Allen Robinson. Say what you want. Everyone's got the last bit of Allen Robinson. But Allen Robinson solidified their wide receiving corps.
It was a good free agent signing.
Yeah, it was a good signing for 3 years. And you know, there are others that you could. Musin Muhammad was a good free agent signing.
Look, Jimmy Graham for $5 million, not $12 million,
right,
would have been a good addition.
Yes.
But that money gives you the opportunity to bring people in. Look, they're going to have to spend some money. There may be some high-priced free agent wide receivers that you can add next year because you've got some cash. Maybe you shore up your offensive line. It just gives you flexibility is what it does.
Yeah, I'm interested in hearing Wilbon's take on the Bears and also on La Russa. He's going to be in studio. Would you rather, last call for your would you rathers, get them in right now, hashtag at WS, would you rather. Send them to Charlie Bevins and also to Jeff Meller via Twitter right now. You could win a Lou Malnati's gift card. Also tomorrow, we're out and about. We're going to be at Binney's Beverage Depot to celebrate our first Bears Football Friday of the 2022 season. So be there tomorrow. It's right off North Avenue. It's on Marcy Street. It's in Lincoln Park. We're going to be giving away those Bears tickets, the pair of Bears tickets to the opener. So be there at Binney's Beverage Depot tomorrow.
At HawkAuto.com, they've got cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, and more. Choose from new Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, Volkswagen, Nissan, and Wagoneer models, and a huge selection of pre-owned and certified pre-owned vehicles. Save with 0% financing for 72 months. That's no interest for 6 years. Plus, no one will pay you more for your trade-in. Find your next car at HawkAuto.com. Drive what I drive. Drive a Hawk. On select models, $1,389 per month per $1,000 finance with approved credit.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Hey, this is Coach Mike Ditka.
Greg Olsen here.
This is Stacey Keach.
Hey, this is D. Rose.
What up? This is Ludacris.
Hello, this is Stick Enberg. Would you like to play a little? Would you rather? Oh, my.
I miss Would You Rather.
We missed it on Tuesday.
I know, and I missed it.
Because Monday, we were off. So, again, we always like to do the good, the bad, the dirty. When we just move this back, we move the drill. Now a healthy Would You Rather has emerged.
Yeah.
On a Thursday. And we play for a gift card to Lou Malnati's Pizza.
Move the drill.
I see quite a few entries, though, since we've pubbed this in the last 20 minutes. Maller, what do you got?
Yeah, we got a bunch of procrastinators here.
That was on me, though.
No, I don't think I really... should know by now. I mean...
On a random Thursday?
Yeah, on a random Thursday.
Yeah, read our mind.
Listen, everybody knows that on the Thursday following a holiday, when the holiday falls on a Monday on Waddle and Sylvie, we always kick the Would You Rather back to Thursday, except when we do it on Wednesday.
That's a good point.
Or Friday.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's a pretty simple schedule that everybody should be aware of.
Okay, what do we got?
All right, boys, would you rather see the Bears move to Arlington Heights?
Yes.
Or see another team buy the land from the Bears and have an AFC team move into Arlington Heights?
No, I'd rather
the Bears move to Arlington Heights.
Can I have the Bears move to Arlington Heights and when they do, a new owner buys the team?
I don't know if that was part of the question.
I picked that option. But no, if we're going his question, then I pick the Bears just moved on. I don't need an AFC team. I'm going to be a Bears fan.
I think it's just apropos that Michael Wilbon walked into the building, and that was the first would you rather question.
You know why he's in town, don't you? He's going out to Arlington Heights
for the meeting tonight. Yes, he's going to go. He's going to actually
survey.
He's covering the press conference for ESPN National.
Yeah, for the National.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Hey, Wilbon, we need you to cover something for us.
Yeah.
What's next?
His first question is WTF as he stands there.
Yes.
I'd like to ask a quick question. WTF.
I like this one. This one's easy and simple. Would you rather have in tonight's game the over 52 or the under 52?
Usually doesn't, don't the opener, well, I don't know, because did Peyton Manning throw 7 touchdowns in like an opener one year?
Yeah, he did.
Like,
he did.
I was going to say they're usually low scoring, but.
He did on the NFL. Yeah, the Broncos. 7 touchdowns.
I'm going to go over. Like, what does Big Cat say about playing the under?
Life's
for
too
losers?
Short.
Life's too short. Sure, yeah.
I think it's also for losers.
Yeah.
I would err on the side of explosive offense.
So you would go under?
I would err on the side of I would say yes. If I would go with the explosive offense. I'm going
okay.
over.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're, would you rather, if your dog could talk, would you rather have it be super sassy or super sarcastic?
Somebody's high. Like, to even think of that question, you have to be high.
I think a good sarcastic conversation is great.
Like, what is the dog in...
Brian in Family Guy?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's, I was thinking...
Oh, good call.
Who's the teddy bear, too, in the...
Ted?
Ted.
Ted.
Ted's funny as hell.
Ted's funny as hell.
Yeah.
Give me that.
Yeah, I agree.
Is Ted sarcastic, though, or is he... He's got Ted's a bit of sarcastic. Sass to
like,
him.
Who's someone sassy that we even know? Who's sassy?
Yeah.
What is sassy?
Sassy's...
Yurko's sassy.
Yurko's sassy. He's sarcastic in a... I was going to use a word.
Such as, spell it.
Starts with a P.
What? Mm.
And rhymes with brick.
This is why you guys still have a hurdle to clear.
We've been fighting here for a while, but
now you're kind of growing apart.
Got to download the new Crosstalk Unhinged.
This is a good
one.
He
was so wrong with his
so
perspective.
Wrong. Yeah.
This is a good one. Would you rather have the Bears make the playoffs with Justin Fields having a Mitch-like season in 2018 a la double doink, or would you rather them miss the playoffs with Justin Fields having a great season, talking 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns?
Yes.
Yes, which one?
That second one.
Okay.
And so it's not even close. I bet you Wilbon would go exact opposite, though.
Oh!
I bet you he would.
Speak of the angel. You know how that goes? Like, normally you say, speak of the devil. I say, speak of the angel.
Oh, look at you kissing
at
ass already.
Kissing ass already.
How dare him wear a Soldier Field?
Yeah.
How dare him?
Yeah, I know.
I wore it for you.
How dare him?
I've got Arlington Heights underwear on. You want to see it?
Dome ready, Michael. We're dome ready.
Yeah.
Bet you do. I'll never see that place. Never see the inside of it.
Oh, I heard you're in town to cover tonight's meeting out in Arlington Heights.
Yeah, I'm in town to go to a real event.
The Sky game, right?
A team that actually wins a game every now and then.
They better win tonight.
They better win tonight. It's hard. I mean, those four teams, I've watched a lot of WNBA this year more than ever. Because
there's a lot of parity. Chance.
Yeah, those four. Four teams. And the Aces, they're the best of the four. Connecticut's really good. Obviously, the Champs are really good. And Seattle's really good. And they, you know, the Aces are probably, I want to play Seattle. I wanted the Sky to win this series and play Seattle. That's what I was rooting for.
You're very into this. All right, we got a break, and then we'll introduce you. I want to ask you the question that was just asked to us
about.
I
heard that crazy question.
All right, because I bet you would go opposite of what we just said.
Probably will.
We'll talk to Will, but there's a lot to get to. There's Bears stuff. There's Tony La Russa news. I'm interested in hearing your opinion on this. Michael Wilbon, you can watch him on Twitch with us. It's brought to you by DraftKings. More with him coming up next.